Turn to your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be in verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, excuse me, verses 38 through 42. If you've been here, we just finished our series through 1 Peter. We went through line by line of 1 Peter and went through that book, and now in the next 4 weeks until we get our missionary speakers come for from the middle of October to the end, I'm going to do a four-week series titled here, With Room. It's titled With Room. I'm going to explain the topic here. But we just finished 1 Peter, and I forgot last week. You ever forgotten something when you're making a presentation at work, and you forgot a certain point? Well, I said at the end of the service, I was going to tell everybody, what are we going to do about 2 Peter? Because we didn't go through 2 Peter. And I got through my message, and I realized I didn't complete my notes and tell everybody, what are we going to do with 2 Peter? So I apologize. Here's the challenge for you. The challenge was this for 2 Peter was to get a group of friends, invite somebody in your neighborhood, a coworker that maybe they know Jesus or don't know Jesus, invite them to read 2 Peter with you. Or families in here, sit down with your kids, read through the entire 2 Peter, and then begin to just go through it, talk about, hey, what did the Holy Spirit say? What are the main themes in this book that we can, as a family or as friends, or maybe even in this room, get together with some other believers in here and say, what can we apply from this? What was Peter challenging the young church to, and how can we live this out in 21st century America? And so that's the challenge for you is read it, get together, read it out loud, read through 2 Peter. It's very short. It's only 3 chapters. It can take you about 15 to 20 minutes to read through it. And then just discuss with one another, how can we live this out? How can we just live out the commands of Scripture? So that's the challenge that I forgot to say last week. But I got home and Ginger, was like, Dan, you didn't say what we were supposed to do with 2 Peter. And I was like, that really was a cliffhanger until the next week. So anyhow, with that, I digress. But anyhow, let's jump into the Word of God here. In these next 4 weeks, I want to just challenge us on with room. And the whole theme is this, if I could boil it down, is this. Are you making room in your life for Jesus and the things he wants to do in your life? Now, this isn't new. Many of you know this. We're supposed to make room for Jesus in our life. However, we're going to go through some areas of our lives as disciples that we kind of overcrowd things in. And we're going to look at some of the commands that Jesus gives us of how to make room for him and how to spend time with him and how to make sure we have rest, but also we're also fulfilling the call that he has on each of our lives in the season that we're in. And so with that, I've got a little illustration here. And many of you know I don't drink coffee, but I have a coffee cup here, and you'll see why. But I have ice here in a cup here, and I have one of my favorite teas, Milo's tea. Oh, man, it's from down south. It's from Sweet Home, Alabama, where my wife is from. That's right. Come on, Tim. That'll preach all day long. That Spirit's moving. I'm already feeling it. Come on, Holy Spirit, right? Anyhow, we're going to be talking about with room. And so I bring this coffee cup in, and no, it's not empty. I mean, it is empty. Excuse me. It's not full because I don't drink coffee. But how many of you love coffee in the room? It's all right, right? We love coffee, right? Okay. How many of you like tea? Anybody like tea? I'm a tea connoisseur. I like going and trying different types of teas and infused teas and different flavors. But when I order my tea, I always like to say light ice. How many of you have gotten a glass at a restaurant and they just fill it with ice? Or it's a drive-thru, right? And what do? They fill it with ice because why? It saves money on the product, right? Yeah. And so when I pour this in, there's not much room for tea in there. I mean, it's just a little bit. I mean, it looks, ooh, that looks nice. But there's not much tea in there. There's not a lot of room. But if I have this empty glass, what can I do? I mean, everybody knows, right? We can just fill it up, and boy, we know you got a nice full glass. And so when I order my tea, I always say, can I have it with light ice? Because I want more tea. I want to make room for more tea in my glass. Or if I want to put lemons in there, or limes, and I don't want the ice watering it down. I hate watered down tea. I mean, yeah. Or watered down pop, right? Oh, I remember my mom. She'd hate watered down Diet Coke. When they cram it with ice, she hated that. And so with this series, as we begin here, we want to talk about making room, with room. Now, I found this out. I'm not a coffee drinker, but you know my wife and many other you in this room are coffee connoisseurs. And I found out at Starbucks, if you say with room, they have to leave room at the top for cream and sugar. And baristas are trained that if you say with room or leave room for, that they're going to not fill it up to the top. They're going to leave room for something extra you want to add in. Now, why do they do that? Why do they leave room or with room in that? It's so that we can add things in. But how many times in our life we have jammed our lives full and our ears and our minds and our schedules are blocked to the Holy Spirit or Jesus directing us? I mean, anybody been there? Anybody raise their hand, right? I've been there, right? I mean, we've done all good things, but boy, we've been so busy, the Lord's speaking to us, and we haven't had time or room or commitments to add more of Jesus into our life. And so this series over the next 4 weeks is going to be talking about, I want to talk to you guys about making room for Jesus. And it doesn't mean that you're in gross sin, that you're a bitch or that. We're just saying God wants to do new things in his church for a new day. And sometimes we've got to say no to some things so that we can say to the best things that Jesus has in our life. And so with that, let's dive in here to the series here. With room, we're going to talk about margin. So what is margin? Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. We know margin from a business perspective, right? We know, but how many of you have margin in your life to relax? How many of you have margin at night just to sleep well? Or margin in your life just to not have any plans on a Saturday or a Sunday? Probably a lot of the American culture would say, no, we don't have it, right? We're 24/7, let's roll. There's so much to do, the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out on stuff. We cram our schedules full or cram our lives full with not necessarily bad things. They're all good things, but they're not the best things for us. And so today with week one, I want to talk about this, filled to the brim. Filled to brim. Are you filled to the brim and have no room for anything else in your life or for God to speak to you? You know, sometimes we love that last minute, right? It takes you 20 minutes to work, to get to work, and you think, I'm going to leave this 2 minutes ahead of time. I'm going to get there. And we cram, sometimes we cram stuff so tight, we end up being late, or we end up, something happens on the way. You ever done that? Where you've like, you're planning, I need 20 minutes, but I'm only giving myself 22 minutes. I can do it in 20, you know, I can do it. And then something happens, you know, when you got young kids, we all know with young kids, stuff happens with young kids, right? Something, and something happens, and it throws off our schedule. Well, this series, I want to talk to you today about, it's very clear from Scripture that there's a rhythm of rest in God's kingdom. There's a rhythm of allowing God to speak to you. There's a rhythm of not overfilling our lives with so much things that God can't move in our life or speak to us. And that's what I want to talk about today, is about being filled to the brim. So turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's going to be here on the screen as well here. And I'm going to read out of the NIV here today. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Boy, that sure sounds like a sibling issue, right? I remember my little brother, I was saying, Mom and Dad, my little brother's not doing the work. Tell him to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, many of you have heard this story. Maybe if you're here today, this is your first time hearing this story. But it's interesting. Here's a few things. Let's look at the story here. We'll leave this verse on the screen here. Mary and Martha both had the same opportunity. Jesus came to their house. Think about this. Jesus, the guy that's doing healing, healing the blind, walking on water, calming storms, raising people from the dead. He's coming to your house. And Martha's like, I got to get everything in order. I got to start cleaning. And Mary said, was like, well, I get to see Jesus. I mean, this guy is doing amazing, crazy things that we've never seen in Israel before. And Martha was distracted by all these other things that she had to get done. They both had the same opportunity. One was focused on Christ. One was distracted. Now, before we become haters, right, and hate on Martha and praise Mary, we need to understand there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, right? Nothing wrong with getting the house ready, right? When you have an important guest, how many of you clean the house? Get it ready, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just what is better. Martha was convinced that she was doing the absolute necessary thing and that she was right. She just wanted to make Jesus feel comfortable. However, sometimes when we cram ourselves and we don't pay attention, sometimes we believe this. Most of us are convinced that what we are doing or the right way we are living is right. Sometimes we get ourselves so full of other things than what Jesus wants us to do, we think, what am I doing, the way I'm living is right, that I'm fully convinced. You ever been there? Someone tells you, hey, you need to slow down. You know, the doctor says, hey, you need to, like, take a break. You're going to have a heart attack. And we're like, no, I've got to do this. Have you ever had that? Someone tell you, a mentor, a boss, a family member saying, hey, you need to stop doing this so you can do this to be more healthy or take a rest. And you're like, oh, no, I've got it. I'm convinced. And what happens most of the time? We either crash and burn. I mean, we crash and burn. And so in this story, as we get into this here, Martha and Mary had two choices, and Martha was convinced she was right, that she had to prepare for Jesus, but Mary chose something that was better. Mary chose what was better, and better is the word we're going to talk about today, better versus good. Better implies that there's two comparables between things, better and good. And so it's an issue today of good and better. How many of you have chosen good things in your life today? How many of you, the Lord has helped you to choose good things, to follow Him, read your scriptures, pray, get up, take care of your body, love your spouse, forgive someone, live by the fruit of the Spirit, right? We've chosen good things. But sometimes we know in our lives as disciples of Christ, there's better things we need to do. Sometimes the Lord has called, has spoke to us, hey, that's a good thing. However, leave that for right now. I want you to do this. But sometimes we think, oh no, we've got to stay here, God. I got to stay right here. Look at verses 41 and 42 here. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Many of you have heard the scripture preached, and sometimes it's been like, oh, Mary was perfect, and Martha was just this, you know, was somehow completely, you know, off track. But no, Martha and Mary both loved Jesus. Both of them were there with Jesus. They just chose different pathways. And I want to highlight in the scripture here, many of you have seen this word, one thing. Jesus calls us to one thing. It's to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not let anything get else in the way. Is church good? Oh, yeah. Is supporting our missionaries good? Yeah. Is working hard for your family? Yes, that's good. Is going to school great? There's a lot of things that are good. But if those things inhibit us or get in front of us and between us and Jesus, church, we have to put those things behind us and make sure we serve Jesus first with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and choose what is better. Those things aren't bad. They're just not what's the most important. Jesus is our one thing. He's our most important. And like I said, there's nothing wrong that Martha did that was sinful or wrong behavior. It just wasn't the best for her. Jesus invited her to come and be with Him. How many of you have felt that pull? Jesus is at, you can feel the Spirit saying, hey, slow down, spend time with me. Read scripture, worship. Just take time. Come to church. Sometimes we push against those things and we think, well, no, I got to do all this. I got to clean the house first. I got to make dinner. I got to, you know, go feed the hogs, change a tire. I got to go paint the house. I got to do this and that. And all of a sudden, you get to the end of the day, and you're like, man, I haven't spent any time with Jesus. I haven't, not even a minute, I have said, Lord, I'm still before you. Come speak to me. Or even a moment to read some scripture and say, Lord, what do you want to speak to me about scripture? You know, one thing in our modern day era, what's been the biggest thing of busyness in competing with Jesus? Right here, right? I mean, we can all be honest. In the 21st century world, not just in America, but around the world, this is competing with our time and affection with Jesus and choosing what is better. Nothing wrong with technology. It's great. It's used to advance the gospel. However, we all know that can be caught up. How many of you have been online, or maybe young, you know, students, you know, you've been online, and you start watching something on Netflix or YouTube, and man, it's like 3 hours later, you're like, whoa. Or you start watching a movie, or maybe you like football, whatever thing you do that distracts you from choosing what is better. God wants us to choose better. He wants us to say yes to the best things. Sorry, excuse me. Saying yes to the best things means saying no to the good things sometimes. And in our walk with Christ, sometimes we have to say no to good things. Let me start over. Pastor Dan's getting a little crazy here today. Saying yes to the best things means saying no to the good things. There's a lot of good things in our life. But what I'm learning in my walk with Jesus is sometimes we have to say no to good things, right? Can we support every missionary in America? The answer is no. Would it be a good thing? It'd be great. However, we get the chance to focus on the wise. We get to focus on them, and that's a better thing for us because they're local. We know them. They're part of our Assemblies of God tribe. But do we want to try to support all missionaries? I wish we could. I wish we had unending money to support all the missionaries. However, God says this is something, this is a better thing for us, for our local assembly to do. Does that make sense? There's things that God has called each of you to do. There are many things we could support. Animosity. You guys know the warming shelter is closing here in Sioux City, right? And I don't know if you've been following the news, but some of the owners of it, the leaders of it, are criticizing the Church of Siouxland for not supporting them. And I want to tell them, hey, you know, supporting the warming shelter, we have done that cross point. That's a good thing. However, there's some better things we have to do right now. We can't fix all, give all to all things. However, the Lord has called us to specifically support some things that are better for our local assembly. And once again, we have to realize that in this passage of scripture here, God was asking Martha to choose the better thing. Choose the better thing. And just like for us, there's a lot of good things we could put our hands to. But church, purely human realm, we just can't do it all, right? How many of you know that? You can't do it all. You can't be all to everything. You can't serve everyone. You can't fix every problem. You can only do what the Lord has assigned you to. And that's what Jesus here in the scripture, he's reminding these two sisters, choose what is better. Choose me in this. Now, how do we make room, and why do we not choose to make room in our lives? I think one thing is this. From Romans 12:2, we know this passage of scripture. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not be conformed. What's the pattern of our world right now? It is busy, chaos. It is work for the dollar. And there's nothing wrong with working, right? Nothing wrong. Work hard, earn money. Man, God blesses some of you in here with prosperity. That's great. You've worked hard, created business. But sometimes our world right now, it's all about you've got to do it. Cram everything in. It's get more of this, get more of entertainment. You know, it's the FOMO, fear of missing out. You've got to do more and more and more. You've got to cram it all in. You've got to work longer hours. And what happens overall we see in our nation right now? We see people that are haggard, worn out, physically unhealthy, selfish, broken, angry, and sad. There's people that are going 90 miles an hour. They're doing great things. I know people that are here in Suitland. They're serving on 3 or 4 humanitarian boards. They're out giving to the needy. They're out doing this and this, all good things. However, when I speak to some of them or when I encounter them out in the public, boy, they're just like, oh, Dan, you know, boy, pray for me. I know you're a pastor. You'll pray. I have no time for my wife, my kids. I'm not taking care of myself, but I'm doing all these wonderful things, but they're not choosing the things that are better for their life. A lot of times, if we look around, we see that the world is very selfish in the sense of they have more faith in themselves and less faith in God and trust in Him to do the things that only He can do. And that if we step back and have a rhythm of rest and trusting in Jesus, that He can accomplish it, they think, no, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And I would put it this way. I was thinking this week, how would you say this? I would say this. When you live life filled to the brim, you are saying there is no God but me. When you try to cram everything in your life, when you think I can take everything on, I can serve more, I can give more, I can do this and this and this and this, you're saying, you know, God, I got this. I'm going to take care of the needs. I'll put it here in context for Crosspoint. Every week, every month, we get bombarded with needs. Pastor, can you help us with this? Can you fund this missionary? Can we give this nonprofit in Siouxland? Hey, we got a family here on the west side that needs this. We got a family here on the north side, this and that. We get tons of requests for needs. And my heart breaks because there's a lot of need in Siouxland. There's a lot of people we want to help. There's a lot of people we want to give to. Are you a mom or dad comes in and they're saying, hey, I need help. I need counseling. Church, I don't have enough hours in my life. We know this, right? We've all been there. There is a great need. All these are wonderful things. However, if I start taking them on and say, well, I can help you. I can do this. I can do it. Oh, Crosspoint can do this. We can do it all. At some point, we become our own little gods and say, you know what? God, I'm good. We're good with you. We can do it all. We're going to cram our lives full of things, and we don't need to really trust in you because we can do it all. We're going to just pile it on. And this is what we see in our scripture here. Martha was beginning to think, I can do it all. I'm going to take care of all. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to get everything ready. When could the Lord have snapped his finger and her house be clean? Yes. Right? Could Jesus said, hey, Martha, sit down and pray. And what happens? Food instantly happens. The Lord could have done anything he wanted there. But Martha was so busy. And sometimes as we as believers, we begin to fill our lives so full that we push God out. And we say, God, we got this. I got this. The church has got this. And church, we don't have this. Right? We all know. We would raise our hands today. We do not have this. We need the Lord in our life. But to allow him in, we have to make room. We have to leave him space in our life, margin, for him to work and do the things only he can do. We are called to good works, as James says. But at some point, our good works only go so far, only fill the cup up so far. And it has to be God all the rest of the way. So here's a few promises that God gives us. First is this, in Matthew 11, 28-29, he says, I will give you rest, rest for your souls. Now, in our counterintuitive mind, in our Western mindset, which is a blessing, we know that work is a good four-letter word. It's not bad. We are to be busy about the Father's business. We are busy to take care of our families. However, church, we need rest. God calls us to rest. When Jesus says he's going to give rest for our souls, it is just not the mere physical, not the mere spiritual in the future. It's right now as well. It's the now and the not yet that's coming. He gives us that rest. And that rest is for our hearts and minds. Remember from the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that the people of Israel and the Gentiles were looking for that seventh-day rest. They were looking for that rest. And what does the writer of Hebrews says? And they can enter that if they trust in Christ Jesus. Today I want to encourage us that you may be busy. You may be trying to fill your life with a lot of good things. However, Christ wants you to pick the better things. What is he calling you to do as teenagers or middle-aged adults or our senior citizens here? What is he calling you to do specifically? And whatever he's calling you to specifically, do that and give up the rest. You may be thinking, well, Pastor Dan, wait a minute, these are good things that are kingdom-worthy things. Well, they may be so. However, you can't do it all. You have to have margin in your life. You have to have rest in your life. God isn't calling you to be the Savior. He sent his son to be the Savior. and to save the world. He'll take care of it. But God is calling you to live in a rhythm of rest so that you can give out to the world. And you can come to the world with a sober mind, as Peter said, if we learn in Peter, and come with a perspective of your ears and your heart and your mind are attuned to Jesus and that you're at a restful place. Second is this. Martha, in this story here from Luke 10, she lived without room. And what happened? Instantly, she was mad at her sister, and she was complaining to Jesus, saying, Jesus, can you get my sister up to help me? So her stress increased because she was worried about getting everything done, and her relationship suffered. She was stressed about getting everything done. She was complaining about her sister Mary. And so when you live without room, sometimes these you get stress and relationships suffer in your life. And we've all been there when maybe you've been a mom or a dad or you're working your career and you feel things in your life, and all of a sudden things become stressed in your relationships. But I want to encourage us with this. In Isaiah 58:11. Through the prophet Isaiah, he's speaking to the exiles that were going to come back. What was the Lord going to do after he returns his people? He said this. He said, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Think about this. The exiles were taken and lost everything. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and God was bringing them back. And think about this. The Israelites could have been like, oh, we got this, God. We got this. We're going to rebuild it. We're going to do something. But what did the Lord promise his people prophetically? That he would supply, that he would satisfy their needs. When we rest, we give Jesus a chance to satisfy our needs and to help show his strength and to strengthen our frame. The last half of the verse says, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Amen to that. When we take time, when we make room for Jesus, he comes in and he refreshes us. He helps us. He restores us, our mind, our perspective, our physical bodies. He speaks to us. The Spirit lives in us. And this is a great promise for us. If you've never read this verse or read this, I would encourage you, read Isaiah 58. Read it in its entirety. And it's a prophetic speech to Israel, but also for us today, that the Lord redeems cities and nations and people. And when we trust in him and make room, he lives in us and refreshes us. Once again, Matthew 11, like we said, the Lord wants to give rest to our souls when we make room. And then lastly, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. As I look around this room today, many of you know this verse. You guys know these verses. You know this, I will give rest for your souls and be still. But how many of you are doing that actively today? As I look around the room today, many of you are doing awesome God tasks. You are out in the community being a light, salt and light for him. However, to our students, to our middle-aged people, to our senior citizens, are you taking time to rest in God? Are you making room for God in your daily walk with him this week? Our culture wants to push us to everything, right? There's more we can do. At any given moment in Sioux City, there is something you could do. There's an event. You can go have fun with your family or individually. I mean, there's outdoor stuff. There's art and education and music stuff. I mean, there's all these good things we get to do that God has blessed us with. However, church, what are the best things that God wants you to choose in your life right now? Is there something you're holding on to? Is there something God's spoken to you? He's saying, hey, that's a good thing, but that was for a season. That's over now. I need you to give that up. Let somebody else be obedient to my spirit and pick that up. But I need you to do this so that you make room for me and you have time with me so that you're not so overwhelmed and over-scheduled and over-committed that I can speak to do a new work or I can reassign you. We all know that if we're Christ's ambassadors, if we're his ambassadors, what does an ambassador do? He listens to the one who sends him. And when the government says, hey, we're going to reassign you, the ambassador doesn't go, well, nope. Nope, I'm choosing this, and this is where I'm saying the ambassador says, okay, I'm being reassigned, and so I'm gonna make room. I'm going to give this up and go over here where my government or the president or the prime minister sends me. As Christ's ambassadors, church, we have to have room so he can send us out and reassign us as he needs us to. But we can only do that if we're taking time to be full of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, reading our scriptures, worshiping, gathering together as the body, encouraging one another, if we're making time for him in our life. And so let me end with this. Who needs today to make room for God in your schedule, your commitments to find rest? Today, where we've been talking about filled to the brim, is your schedule, is your life so filled to the brim, you're not at rest in Jesus. You're not at peace with him. Now, we all know there's busy seasons, right? When you got young kids or when you're planning a church or missionary work or you're starting a new job or starting a new company, there's a season where, yeah, you got to hustle. However, church, even in hustling, we know there can still be rest. We know that in your heart and mind, you can still have time with God. Even in the business of life and trying to raise families and kids and doing your job, there's still a rest we can do. But who needs today to make room for God in your schedule and commitments? And that's what I want to talk about this focus on today, is that our schedule and commitments sometimes can be higher than God and what he wants in our life. But sometimes we're so committed to that schedule, that commitment. I've got to do this, Lord. And he's saying, Martha, Mary, John, Peter, Dan, Tim, Darlene, no, just come sit with me. Come be with me for a while. I can take care of all this. I can make up the business. I can make up the lack, what you think is lacking. I can make all that up. I can bring that business to you. I can help you with that issue. I can bring whatever you need. Jesus can do that. But first, we have to sit with him, church. We have to be with him. And in our lives, 21st century, if I can encourage you, we've got a lot of youth in here, and cautions, I encourage you, youth today here, make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. Don't get so caught up, I got to do this and this and this and this, what culture tells me or my friends or school. Make time to read the word, to come on Sunday mornings, to hang out with youth. Go to youth group on Wednesday nights. Make time to ask your parents or to pray. Say, parents, hey, mom and dad, can you pray with me? So let's spend time. Let's follow Jesus. Make room in your schedules for Jesus and make room in your heart so that God can speak to you. So with that, let's pray, church. And let's just ask God to be with us today as we go out and that we would be listening to him and fully tuned to him. Father, we come before you, and God, we say thank you that, God, you want to speak to us. You want to spend time to us, that you, Holy Spirit, want to be invited in to overfill us continually day by day. And we invite you in this moment right now, Holy Spirit. God, I pray for each of us here that we would choose the things that are better. God, we say thank you for all the good opportunities you've given us so that we can put our hands to work. But God, we pray right now we would choose the best things, the better things, of making room for you in our lives. God, I pray over this next month, God, we would examine our hearts and our mind, our soul, our schedules, our commitments. And God, if there's anything that we need to give up, that we need to let go of, I pray that, God, we would let go of it. And God, we would trust you, knowing that if we sit with you, if we pray and ask you, God, to make up for what we think is lacking, that you are faithful and good, that you've got good plans for us when we trust in you, Jesus. God, help us today to honor you with the rhythm of rest in our life. Help us to honor you, God, by taking time to trust you to do the things that only you can do. God, help this church, God, to trust in you. God, help us not to become so full of ourselves, God, or only believe in what we can do. God, may we submit our plans to you and say, Jesus, this is all we can do, but God, we know you can do measurably more than we think or imagine. That, God, you can multiply things that we think can't be multiplied. That, God, you can restore and heal relationships that we thought were dead and dried up. God, it all happens when we come and we spend time with you, when we sit down with you and we trust you and we put our rest in you. God, thank you for what you're doing here at Crosspoint and everybody's lives here. God, we say thank you by the power of your Spirit that, God, you are working in us. And so, God, go with us today in your power and might. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Amen and amen. Church, if you need prayer, if you need a prayer, talk about commitments, or if you need God, you know, to come in and help you with that, talk about that, come forward. And myself, some of our deacons will pray. But go out in his power and strength. We love you. Encourage one another as you go out. Have a great day. Make sure to stop.